everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and here we are. Are you ready for another It's All About Food show? I am so ready for this hour. But before we get started and get on with the main subjects and my guests, I just want to take a moment, maybe you can too, stretch a little bit, take in a deep breath. I am so exhausted. This last week, I have tried to fit in so much more than I usually do, and I usually do too much to begin with. And right now, I'm sitting for an hour, and I'm just going to be able to talk about what I love doing, and in a way, it's relaxing, and I'm so grateful for that. So I'm sitting here thinking, as I'm feeling tired, saying, no, don't feel bad that you're tired. Feel grateful. There's so many things to be grateful for. So I'm grateful for this chair that I'm sitting in. And I'm going off on a trip to a place where I know it's going to be hard to find dark leafy green vegetables and juices. And we're going to be talking later about an app that will help you find juice bars. But fortunately, I'm here in the Progressive Radio Network studio where I could pick up a container of Gary Knoll's green stuff, which I did, and I feel very fortunate to be able to have that to travel with me. I've got to have my greens wherever I go, and I'm grateful for that. Okay, here we go. My first guests are Dan Latterman and Sherry Soria of the Living Light Culinary Institute. Let me read a little bit about each of them. Sherry Soria is a raw food revolutionary, the founder and director of Living Light Culinary Institute. She's been teaching the art of gourmet raw foods to individual chefs and instructors for more than 20 years and vegetarian culinary arts for 40 years. Wow. She has personally trained many of the world's top raw food chefs and instructors and is often referred to as the mother of gourmet raw vegan cuisine. She's the author of 4 books, including Raw Food Revolution Diet and Raw Food for Dummies. She's been a popular speaker at many international health events for the past 20 years and over 66 years young. She's vibrant, energetic, and inspiring example of the raw food lifestyle. And also Dan Latterman, a pioneer in the internet revolution in the late 70s and has been pioneering the raw food revolution and its impact on health for the past 18 years. He's the co-author of Raw Food for Dummies and co-director of Living Light International, along with his wife, Sherry Soria. He's also president of the Institute for Vibrant Living, a nonprofit organization dedicated to global education about raw, organic, plant-strong foods and their role in health and vitality, and a certified Hippocrates health educator. Wow. Okay. Welcome to It's All About Food, Sherry and Dan. How are you?
Hi, Karen. We're doing great. It's so good to talk with you.
It is. I'm just feeling the energy right now coming out of my microphone or out of my headphones or something.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Okay. So you're into this raw food thing, and Sherry, you've been doing this a long time.
I have. I was fortunate enough to study with the original pioneer of raw food that in those days was used for healing, and that was Dr. Ann Wigmore. There was no gourmet. It was cuisine. It wasn't a cuisine in those days.
No, in fact, Ann Wigmore's food is very special. I've been down to the Institute, and it's not, I mean, I know when you're healing, some people are willing to do just about anything, but it's not the tastiest food.
No, that's absolutely right. And in fact, that was primary for her, was to wean people off of their need to have food that was tasty, because she wanted people to eat to live, not live to eat, which was causing so many of their problems.
Right.
And so I took what I learned from her and created it into a cuisine. And people loved it. If food tastes good, people will eat it. It doesn't matter whether it's good for them or not. They want to eat it if it tastes good.
Yeah, well, we've certainly come a long way, and I believe in eating to live, absolutely. But, you know, I think we're here to experience joy as much as we possibly can. And when we have to eat, why not enjoy it? And we know the food is fabulous.
Thank you. Yes, and in fact, the truth of the matter is that you really, unless people are dying, And even sometimes when they are dying, they won't change their diet. But if you want people to eat healthy, you have to make it taste good, because if it doesn't taste good, they won't eat it. They would rather die.
Okay, now why why raw for you? Where did the raw food experience, why did it start for you, and why have you stuck with it?
Well, as you mentioned, I'd been teaching vegetarian, plant-strong cuisine for almost 20 years. When I went to visit work with Dr. Ann Wigmore in Puerto Rico, and I saw so many miracles there, far beyond what I could have expected, just taking people off of the foods that were killing them and putting them on cooked plant foods. What I saw with her using wheatgrass juice and only raw blended foods was that people were recovering from diseases like cancer when they had been given a death sentence by their doctor, and their doctor said, there's nothing more we can do for you. And Dan experienced the same thing when he went to Hippocrates Health Institute. We both, we weren't together at the time, but independently of each other, we saw miraculous healings with raw food. And so my goal was to make raw food tasty enough that people would want to eat it on a daily basis, not just because they were dying and had to get healthy and using it just as medicine, but to also satisfy their desire for foods that were delicious and, you know, had textural contrast and looked beautiful. I wanted it to be an actual cuisine. And so that was my goal, and it did come from the fact that I had seen so many miracles at the Ann Wigmore Institute in Puerto Rico.
I'm in love with plants, and I'm so glad to be alive at this time when we're really, I don't want to say exploiting, but we're taking plants to a whole new level for so many different things and rediscovering what simple plants are all about. So we're kind of going in both directions with technology, extracting all kinds of magical ingredients from plants, but also revisiting the Garden of Eden, the simple foods, and how they're really wonderful for us. Now, raw food, every category seems to have a gazillion subcategories. So we're talking about the standard American diet, and some people eat meat and fish and chicken, and then some people don't eat it, and they eat dairy foods, and then we have vegans, and we have starch vegans and grain vegans and raw vegans, and then raw food has a whole bunch of subcategories too. So there are the sprout people, the fruit people, the sometimes oil and namashoyu people, the dehydrated sometimes stuff. Where do you fit in the raw food continuum?
Well, we believe in flexibility, and the key is the more raw food, the more plant-based food you add to your diet, the better off you're going to be, the healthier, the more disease-free, your weight's going to normalize, you're going to feel younger, you're going to look younger. And just everything works better, on a plant-based diet and then on a raw food diet, because on a raw food diet, you get a diet that's rich in phytonutrients and enzymes, which are the really keys to, fighting oxidization and aging and cancer and all sorts of disease. So we kind of come down on the flexible side of the more the better. Traditionally, our view of raw food and what we talk about in Raw Food for Dummies is a raw vegan diet. So it starts out as vegan, plant-based, and then raw, which is not heated above 118 degrees, which is a temperature where a lot of the nutrition starts being killed off from our food. So we use tools like dehydrators and things to create crispy, crunchy snacks that aren't our mainstay. Mainstay is, as you talked about initially, greens. Greens are really a wonderful thing, but the key is the colors of the rainbow, all those different colors of our vegetables, and there's such a wide variety of delicious fruits and vegetables out there with such a variety of colors. Those different colors contain different phytonutrients. And so by getting a spectrum of colors, you're going to get a spectrum of health. And then the body knows how to take from those building blocks what it really needs at any given moment to create optimal health in our bodies.
And Karen, we're, as Dan says, we're kind of, we're flexible, meaning that it, we know that it's not just what you eat, it's also what you don't eat. And we also know that as long as you're eating a high raw diet and the cooked foods that you're eating are good choices, and the raw foods that you're eating are good choices as well, because there are raw foods that aren't as health promoting as some cooked foods. For example, you wouldn't want to eat cashew cheesecake every day, even if it is raw, when steamed kale is actually better for you to eat on a daily basis. So, of course, we know how to prepare kale in such a way that it tastes cooked, it looks cooked, you can use it in so many different recipes that where you don't even know there's kale. But nevertheless, choosing the right foods to cook and certain foods you don't want to cook because you don't want to kill, say, the vitamin C or certain phytonutrients that have a low heat threshold, and then cooking at the proper temperature and not cooking fats and especially using a lot of oils, frying food, even grilling, baking, and roasting is cooking at high temperatures, so you can be creating dangerous chemicals when you're cooking, especially starches, at high temperatures. So we're not, even though at Living Light Culinary Institute we only teach people how to make raw food because so many people know how to cook, they don't know how to make delicious raw food, we don't advocate that people have to be on an all 100% raw food diet in order to experience the benefits. But we do advocate that they make good, healthy choices, whether they're raw or cooked.
You know, there's like, I'm thinking of, it's almost a metaphor, but I once went to I got a tour of a raw food restaurant. I don't think it exists anymore, but it was up in Larkspur, California. Roxanne's, maybe you remember it.
Oh, she was a graduate of our school.
Oh, there you go. Well, I got a tour of that restaurant and the inside. And one of the things that amazed me, because I've seen a lot of different restaurants, is this place was spotless. And raw food cuisine is not only clean for us inside, but it's clean outside. You're not frying. Frying is filthy. It just destroys your kitchen. The walls everywhere just gets the, because it vaporizes and it coats everything. And the dishes are harder to clean when you cook. Raw is just so obviously clean to that degree.
Yeah, it's true. And one of the favorite things when I stopped cooking for me was no more scrubbing dirty, greasy pots and pans, and my walls weren't greasy anymore, and I love that.
And you got a nice, clean kitchen. You end up with no cross-contamination with anything. Our kitchen at our school is cool. It's not hot. It's not noisy with big hoods and exhaust fans and all that stuff that really, you know, make it good for the people to work in, and because it's plant-based, it's so good for the animals.
In fact, the food handling inspectors for our county here, they don't even bother coming upstairs to our commercial kitchens because they said,
I was
going to
ask
you
about what's going on, what went on when you got your commercial kitchen certified, and because the regulations are mostly geared towards all kinds of nightmares that can happen with animal products. And cooked food.
Yeah, we work very closely with our environmental agency as we were building our school, and we built it out and we passed our first inspection. We worked with them to, you know, the nice thing with no cooked oils, we didn't need a grease trap, we didn't have any boilers, so we didn't need any hoods. We did need good sanitation systems, so we end up with high temperature dishwashers so that we didn't have to use, you know, dangerous chemicals, and we got approval to use hydrogen peroxide as our sanitizing agent. So no bleach in our facilities.
That's good.
We're all eco-friendly. We have won multiple awards at Living Light for being, you know, an eco-conscious business, both from our county and from the Best of Raw. We won the Eco Raw Business of the Year last year. This last, in 2014, we just won for our eco-friendly initiatives that we did company-wide to continue to encourage all of our staff and all of our departments, both at work and in their personal lives, to, you know, continue to do things for the environment.
I don't know if you've heard this, and I doubt there have been any studies on it, but I've heard from people that have been involved in plumbing that the raw foodists seem to have the best plumbing, not in their own bodies. I'm talking about physical piping and what's going out into the waste.
Well, that makes sense, but I do agree that it's both your physical plumbing mm-hmm. in your building as well as your plumbing in your body. It works both ways.
That's right.
That stuff that clogs your pipes clogs them both internal and
that's
external.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what goes on at Living Light Culinary Institute?
Well, we have people who come from 60 different countries.
Whoa.
We're the only licensed culinary school, as far as we know, in the world, certainly in California and in the rest of the states. We're the only licensed culinary school that is strictly raw vegan. We had to jump through a lot of hoops, but, you know, we started the school 16 years ago, and we believe in constant and never-ending improvement. So we managed to pass all of the requirements for the state of California, and we do attract people, as I say, from 60 different countries. We have 40 employees. We have, besides the culinary school, which, by the way, offers classes not only for professional chefs but also for home chefs, anybody who wants to learn how to make healthier meals for themselves and their families. We certainly have programs for them. You can come for as little as a weekend or for as long as 3 months, depending on what your interests are. We have, besides a culinary program, we have a nutritional science program that's taught by Drs. Rick and Karen Dina, who are foremost authorities on nutrition and particularly the raw food diet, and they are both chiropractors with this as their specialty. We have an eco-friendly inn where we house our students. It's a short walk to the school, so our students don't need to have a car when they come. It's a beautiful area that we have here on the Mendocino Coast.
Oh, nice.
We also have in our complex, we have a cafe, and we also have a culinary store for anything you need for a raw food kitchen. So we really house four businesses within the Living Light Institute umbrella, I guess. The school being the primary business, all the other businesses are there to support our students.
So we've got a long way to go before we're really mainstream, but the terms vegan and raw are definitely out there. More people know about them. They're talking about them. There are all kinds of references to them in books and articles and TV shows and movies, which is a great thing. More people are going for green smoothies, blended salads. What foods today are the people most surprised with that they learn about when they come to your school?
Well, when they come to the school, they usually know about juicing and blending. They don't know necessarily that you can have amazing raw cheese, that you can have incredible desserts far and beyond what cooked foods desserts are, really. And some of the favorite comfort foods that people are used to, like burgers and enchiladas and tacos and tamales and, you know, just pretty much everything except for maybe fried chicken and prime rib, we can replicate because there are so many new products that are out, new techniques. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I'm constantly learning how to create different textures and new flavors and utilizing different kinds of spices and combinations of flavors and so forth, and technique, you know, really good, solid culinary technique. The cuisine, as you say, has just changed so much. It's so far beyond roots and shoots and salads and smoothies. People, even who are interested in raw food already, and many of them have already been exploring this as a diet, who come to our school are really amazed at how delicious this cuisine is and how much contrast and satisfaction it offers.
Okay, now I know that there are all different kinds of vegan diets. There are really healthy ones, and then there are the Coke and French fried ones, which are not so healthy. Are there raw diets that may not be so healthy?
Well, clearly, as Jerry talked about, is things like desserts, cheesecake, things that are really heavy in nuts and seeds can be overdone. We think of desserts as recreational and not part of a food group. So if you're having, once again, back to the variety, if you're having a variety in your diet, you're having a strong foundation of greens in many different ways, whether they're in smoothies and juicing and still getting all the colors of the rainbow, you're going to have a healthier diet. It's much more challenging to be a junk food raw foodist than it is a junk food vegan. We traveled all over the world this last mm-hmm. year promoting our book, Raw Food for Dummies, which we like to think of as Raw Food for Smart, Busy People.
Yeah.
And we went to some of the big vegan conferences in Chicago and Toronto, and most of the food they served we couldn't eat because we wouldn't consider it food because it was a lot of deep fried and
vegan donuts, look out. Yeah.
And that stuff's just not healthy, and that's why when Sherry talks, we talk about it doesn't have to be all raw, but the choices you make in your cooked food have to be good choices. Like gluten-free is an important thing. One of the nice things on a raw food diet is pretty much you're automatically gluten-free with a few mm-hmm. exceptions, and it's very easy to be gluten-free, and a lot of people have gluten challenges. And when you look at the standard vegan diet, gluten is the core of a lot of the fillers, you know, with wheat and processed look-alike meats and things that just aren't that healthy. And yet a vegan diet is healthy, but what raw food really does is take it to an extreme level of health. It's just amazing what happens when people eat, you know, a variety of healthy raw foods.
And the thing about gluten is it's not really just people who know they're gluten intolerant, or, you know, we think of gluten intolerance, but really it's not good for any of us. It's an inflammatory.
Yeah.
And even animals, we had our dog not long ago was having health problems, and, you know, we went along with what the vet told us to do. We gave him medication, and it just didn't seem to be helping. And I finally thought, you know, I'm just going to take him off of his vegan kibble. He was on a vegan kibble, mm-hmm. even though I was giving him also a lot of raw vegetables and superfoods and everything. As soon as I took him off the kibble, within 2 days, his symptoms disappeared.
Wow.
And we see that so much with people. So with as Dan says, with a raw food diet, it's pretty much gluten-free anyway, unless you have something like a sprouted kamut scone or something of that nature. And at Living Light, we just don't prepare anything that has gluten in it. We're completely gluten-free. And that way people, you know, they may be symptomatic and not even know what's causing their problems. And when they go gluten-free, all of a sudden their joints aren't stiff anymore, their skin improves. There's just so many things that they had no idea. You know, they thought maybe they were getting older or this is normal, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. They think it's normal and there's nothing they can do about it, which is really a sad thing. Now,
yeah,
you mentioned, go ahead, Dan.
I said, another key for us is organic.
Yeah.
And that's true for a lot of raw foodists. They're very high on the concept of organic, which means GMO-free, because just like gluten, the side effects people get from eating GMO'd food are numerous, and we don't even know what it's going to do in the long run. So organic is just, you know, best for us and best for the farmers and the environment.
You mentioned organic. I'm reading about how scary the organic certification label with the USDA may become, that they may be allowing some things that we don't want to touch our organic food.
I am always, you know, I'm on a number of email lists, and I'm always, you know, writing to, you know, being active with the congressman and the USDA, and it's important for all of us to be aware that there's a lot of pressures from big agriculture and the farming community and, you know, the pharmaceuticals to limit how strong the organic, you know, certifications are, and to limit our right to know for genetically modified foods. So I encourage everyone to, follow that and be proactive. If you get a request to sign a petition to, stop GMO'd salmon, stop GMO'd beet, stop whatever they're trying to do. They're trying to make it so the states don't have a right to require GMO labeling. There's just lots of pressure to water that all down. So be proactive.
And a lot of people seem to think that if they go on a healthier diet, especially a raw food, raw vegan diet, that they also have to go organic. For some reason, they're thinking that if they don't eat raw food and they cook their food, that they can still buy food that's not organic, that's conventionally grown, because it'll go away when it's cooked.
Mm.
And that is so not true at all. You know, you want to be organic no matter what you're eating. And as Dan says, get involved. Let your voice be heard. If you join some of these different organizations, they make it easy for you. They write the letter, and all you have to do is click on it. And the letters go out to your congressman and everything. You only have to, put in your information once, and it just goes through. So you can really let your voice be heard. We need to stand up to this.
There's a lot of misunderstanding about what's going on with our food, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because, no, you cannot remove a lot of toxic residues by heating. In fact, heating often makes things more concentrated and makes it worse. People feel the same way about water. I'm really big about distilling water from the tap. I think it's great that we have tap water, and we should always have access to water. But once it's at your delivery point, you need to do some extra cleaning. And boiling water does not take care of a lot of the problems that are in our tap water. We have to remove it with good filtration.
That's right. When people say that we have safe water in our community, they're saying safe and that it doesn't have any harmful bacteria. But one of the problems is that it's killing off the bad bacteria and it's killing off the good bacteria at the same time. Irrespective of all the chemical residues that you're also taking into your body, you are killing your natural friendly flora that keeps your digestive tract healthy. And that's one of the things about the raw food diet also, is that we really encourage a high probiotic food like sauerkraut or the amazing delicious cheeses that I invented 20 years ago and are so popular today, that have actually been fermented cheeses made from nuts and seeds, so that we are replenishing that friendly flora and all the time. And we need to always do that, whether we're drinking tap water or not. But tap water is just not something that we want to take in, because it really does a lot of harm to the body in many ways.
And when you're eating a lot of raw food, mostly raw food, your body doesn't seem to need to drink as much water because the food is hydrated.
That's right.
Yeah, you're getting a high water content food when you eat raw food. And the good news about that also is that means that it's also, you get a lot of nutrition from the liquids that are in our fruit, and it's not as calorie dense, which is one of the reasons that you can eat a lot of raw food, fill yourself up, be satisfied, versus eating a processed food diet where it's all the water's taken out, the nutrition's taken out, and it's very compact, and you eat a little bit, it doesn't fill you up, and it hasn't provided any nutrition, so it's very easy to overeat. And in a raw food diet, people's weight, people's health just naturally normalizes to a healthy level without ever having to count calories or get out a scale. It just works great.
My sister was very overweight all her life, and she drug her feet not wanting to make changes in her diet. Because, when you do, then a lot of other changes have to occur, changes in the places you go, the friends you hang out with, and all of that. Finally, and she's 8 years younger than I am, finally she decided that maybe I was onto something, because I'm older than her, but people were thinking that she was my mother.
And you look so hot, Sherry.
Thank you. People thought she was my mother. She couldn't keep up with us, just running, walking on the beach. She really couldn't do any of that. And so she went on a raw food diet, and now it is 2 years later, and she's lost 100 pounds.
Oh, yes.
Never dieted, never gave up any foods that she wanted to eat. She just ate her fill, and she is a completely different person, psychologically, spiritually, physically. She's experienced a rebirth.
I love those stories. Now, we just have a few minutes, and I wanted to talk a moment about Costa Rica. Are you still doing events in Costa Rica?
We are not doing events currently. We do have a little place there. We were spending all of our time in Costa Rica. We were spending working, and so we decided we were going to take a few years off from doing that and just go to Costa Rica for our own benefit, and enjoy it. So
yeah.
We have a little place there, but we plan to do it again soon. Living Light Culinary Institute just, you know, really takes up so much of our time, which we love. You know, they say if you love the work you do, you never really work a day in your life, and we have a passion for this work, and we feel, you know, so fulfilled by it, and just knowing that we are part of the journey of so many people around the world and helping to spread this lifestyle to so many different countries is just really such a blessing for us. So this is where we do our work, and Costa Rica is where we go to relax.
That sounds pretty good. Well, Dan and Sherry, I love what you're doing. I learned a lot when I first met you, and that was in Costa Rica at one of your Raw World events, and it changed my life, and I'm grateful for that. And
can we give you our website for your listeners?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, it's rawfoodchef.com.
Rawfoodchef.com,
and we are located in Northern California on the beautiful Mendocino Coast.
You know, I have never been to Mendocino, and I keep saying, you know, talk to me of Mendocino. I have got to get there. And when I do, I know where to go.
You do. And you know that the New York Times just this year put the North Coast of California as the number one place in the entire United States to visit and number three in the entire world.
Oh.
So you do want to come here.
Well, I hope too many people aren't going to go there, because then it won't be as lovely and special as it is.
Well, it takes a little effort to get here, but it's well worth it.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's all about food, and you're making a wonderful difference on this planet.
Thank you, Karen.
Hope you will. Thank you. You know, I just wanted to mention before we take a quick break that I think I told you last week I'm going to be speaking at an event in Nevada. It's for a livestock company, and they're having their annual bull sale, and there's going to be a panel on climate change, and I've been asked to talk about animal agriculture's contribution to climate change. I will be the lone vegan talking to about 200 cattle producers, and it's kind of crazy. I've got a Kickstarter that we launched last week, and we've already reached our $2,000 goal, which is exciting. But I would ask you to go to my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and check out the Kickstarter project. It goes until March 1st, and we certainly can use all the support that we can get until it's over. And the videos that we've done for this lone vegan project are fun, so check them out. Also, you know, we're talking about raw food and vegan food, and how healthy it is for us. But the more I research about climate change, the scarier it gets about our future. And we cannot stop talking about how important eating plant foods and reducing and eliminating animal products from our diet is. It is so important on so many levels, especially about climate change and the environment, the health and the environment. Whew! Okay, let's take a little break, and then we're going to do some green hopping, okay? We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for part two of this show here on February 18th, 2014. And we are hopping here in the studio, green hopping. I'm talking with Catherine Coelho, who is originally from the Dominican Republic, and she moved to New York in 2010. She is passionate about food advocacy, labeling GMOs, and more organic produce availability. Her professional background is rooted in political and corporate communications, having worked on the Obama reelection campaign and for Fortune 500 companies such as General Motors. She holds a BA in politics, history, and journalism from Coventry, England, and she's here in the studio, and we're going to be talking a little bit about her new app. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. You know, you could bring that a little closer to you. It can be in front of the box. There we go. Yeah. Very
good.
Thank you. We should all be comfortable here. Okay, so let's talk first about this app that you've got. What is it, and why is it, and how is it, and what are we going to do about it?
So Green Hopping is an app that is available at the App Store, and we are currently developing the platform to also be on Androids. It's available in New York City, but we are also working on launching additional U.S. cities, a ton of them. And essentially, the app is your helper in your phone to find organic green juice bars, to find your nearest smoothie, to find restaurants that cater to your vegan diet or that serve raw foods or raw desserts or gluten-free options. So we are trying to be the go-to source when it comes to healthy eating. But for me, healthy means natural, pure, non-altered, organic.
Minimally processed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, here in New York City, the greatest city in the world, woo-hoo, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, but you don't want to be anywhere else but here. And it's kind of a love-hate thing we've got going on here in New York City. But this is the empire of green juice. There are more green juice bars here than anywhere, aren't there?
Yeah. So when I first started my journey 2 years ago after a health scare that I suffered, and it's a long story, but I basically changed my diet overnight because I did not want to go with all the heavy pills and medications. I was 23. I lost my left ovary, and what they wanted me to do, the treatment that they wanted me to do, could also possibly affect my right ovary. So I started reading and researching, and I found Chris Carr, who obviously a lot of people know.
Crazy Sexy Cancer.
Crazy Sexy Cancer. She's incredible. And her book, that was it. I mean, it was super easy to read. I read it in like a day, and I said, no, this, whatever the doctors wanted me to do is not for me. So I started juicing literally overnight and went raw literally overnight. And so then I moved for the Obama campaign. I moved to Miami, because that's where they wanted me. And so I started this journey in Miami. So it was a little easier because it's warm and you have fruit.
Have you been to Josh's in North Hollywood?
No.
Oh, have you heard of it?
Yeah, but
no. The most amazing farmer's market anywhere.
Well, they have, I've had their products, but they bring it down from the farm and they'll sell it at Saturday Farmers Market.
Yeah, Sunday.
But no, I was like in Miami. Oh, Sunday. Yeah.
I know Josh. And
I think, I'm thinking about Glazer Farms.
This is right on the beach in North Hollywood.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of Glazer Farms.
Yeah, this Josh Steinhauser, he is a very hardworking, passionate individual, and he has worked with many farmers, and he's got this great farmer's market.
Oh, then I have to check it out.
And a great juice
bar. I'm thinking of Glazer Farms, so bring their stuff.
This guy is so energized from all the greens that he's eating. He's just bouncing, hopping.
Yeah,
off
hopping.
The pavement.
There you go. That's the inspiration for the name. But so in Miami, I would juice, and I had to Google to find these bars. And then I moved to New York, and it's like, whoa, you have all these places, and people are really into it, either for the nutritional side of it or just because it's trendy. Yeah, who knows? But they're there, and they're thriving, and I love it. And so that's how the app. I said, if it's hard for me, and this is my lifestyle, I'm assuming that it's harder for other people. And just to make it easier and to inspire more change, and so that it's more mainstream, which is my frustration because I'm 25 and it's hard. It's hard to go out. It's an issue all the time. So that's really how Green Hopping came to life.
Yeah, I love it. Well, my listeners know I juice every day. In fact, I was talking earlier in the show, I'm going off to a place where you can't find much green food, and I just picked up some of Gary Knoll's green stuff to bring with me, because if I can't get the fresh raw greens, which is the best, I've got to have at least some kind of good powder. And I had advanced ovarian cancer back in 2006, and I know that I'm here today partly because I committed to green juicing. There's nothing kale can't do.
Yeah.
There's nothing kale can't do. In fact, I may bring this guy on this show sometime later, but someone that I met and we became friends, and I got him excited about kale, and now he's off studying nutrition, getting a master's, and he's doing some great scientific work with using kale juice and melanoma and finding that the cancer cells are incredible. Just like knocked out.
Yeah. Do you have oven-baked kale, though, or just kale and juices?
I have a food show called It's All About Greens on my ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com website. It's a four-part show. I juice greens, I blend greens, I steam greens, and I cook them. I have them in all shapes and sizes. Because raw food is great, but when it comes to greens, the cooked greens, there's some absorbability that goes on, and you can get... I can't eat broccoli raw. It's just a thing.
It's heavy. Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm the same.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of my journey, I felt a little guilty having cooked or steamed veggies. Like, I won't have it at restaurants, but I'll make it myself. That's literally sautéed for, like, 2 seconds in water.
Why do you feel guilty?
Well, I don't know, because it's psychological, I know, but...
Okay. You know, and you bring up a good point. I like to say this from time to time. I don't think I've said it in a while, but I've said it a lot today, not on the show, so I guess it's time to recycle this information. But when we're eating, whatever we're eating, if it's healthy food or if it's not healthy food, when you're eating it, you've got to enjoy it and tell your body, take the good stuff and leave the rest behind. You don't want to eat ever with guilt saying, I shouldn't be eating this, because your 50, 100 trillion cells get that message, and they respond to the environment they perceive. They respond to the voices in your head that, and they hear loud and clear. So be careful what you're telling yourself. Send yourself some love and leave the guilt for later, not when you're eating.
Thank you. I will definitely apply that. I need to.
And that's not just for you, Catherine. That's for everybody. Okay. So did you make this app yourself?
So I designed it and I created the idea and the layout is all my doing, but I have a coder who's also Dominican and is based in the Dominican Republic. And so he brought it to life. So I couldn't do it without him.
Yeah, I'm working on a little app for responsible eating and living, and I haven't put much time into it.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
It's hard to do everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And I try.
No, yeah. So it's me, my coder. I have two designers, and then I have my high school best friend, who's like my sister, who then helps me with all the marketing and social stuff. It takes a lot of your time. So it's really important for me to have that support.
Well, California gives the impression to a lot of people as being really healthy, and I go to Northern California reasonably frequently, and I always look for green juice. It's getting a little easier, but it is not easy to find green juice unless you find somebody with a juicer and you can make it yourself. But it's hard. And some of the Whole Foods are starting to add green juice to their menus that they offer in the stores, but it's nothing like here in New York City, and it's sometimes hard to find a juice bar.
Well, that was my experience in Miami, but I, through Instagram, which is, I consider it my community, my feel-good community. I love Instagram, and for anybody who's listening, we're Green Hopping App on Instagram. But through there, there's a lot of, the problem is that they're not as, it's not all dense like in Manhattan or even Brooklyn. So they're there, but you really have to know where you're going before. You can't just walk around and find a green juice store. Same as in Miami, but they're popping up, and that's the database that we're working on, is gathering all of this information and putting it on the app, so that hopefully by the spring or summer we have LA on the map and Venice Beach and Miami, Boston, Dallas is also coming up on the map, Austin, and Chicago.
Right. All those blue places.
Yeah. Exactly.
What was it like working on the Obama campaign,
Oh, I loved it. It was a great experience. It was a great team. I also met my partner, my soulmate on the campaign.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and then we moved back to New York together.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Dominican Republic. What's it like there?
it's paradise. It's gorgeous. If you live on the beach and you don't have to deal with all the social, economical, political problems, it's paradise. It's perfect.
But do people know it's paradise that live there?
I think so, honestly, because Dominicans, they don't want to leave. I mean,
good.
My boyfriend, for example, he's always like, oh, you know, people in Latin America, they don't want a better life. And it's like, well, you know what? Honestly, to live on a beach in the Caribbean, like, why do they want to go anyway? Like, yeah, they may not have luxurious cars, but they have the sunshine. They have food
they have
that grows right there.
Yeah.
They have big families. They have gatherings. That's
what life is about.
And that's
And we forget. But are there any green juice bars in the Dominican
Republic? There's like two.
And what about green food? Because I know when I go to Costa Rica, it's kind of hard to find green. They do grow some spinach, and it's really nasty, bitter.
Well, in the DR, we do our crops are good. So we grow like red, all kind of peppers. We grow broccoli and spinach and arugula, all these things that I never knew. Like now I've discovered my country through different lenses because now I'm looking for all of this. We do have a problem with organic. They do use a lot of pesticides to the extent that the EU won't take our produce in. But it's not the same as in Costa Rica. It's not, people don't really eat greens or have they don't have the fruit, their fruit. So another mission that I'm kind of working towards is importing those fruit pulps, like the guayaba or the guanabana, which is an anti-cancer agent as well, but very hard to find here. The zapote, I don't know.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's super good. So I'd love to start importing these because they go bad in our countries because nobody
Okay,
will eat
that's
them.
The saddest thing. Now, I have not been to the Dominican Republic, but I've been to Costa Rica many times. And the first time I was there, I was so excited because all of these beautiful foods were literally dropping from the trees. It was heavenly. And then I realized people aren't even eating these foods. So when mangoes are in season and they're like all over the place.
And then you pay $5 here to get it at Whole Foods.
Please. I mean, I would just want to bathe in them. There are so many of them. And and then the avocados and then the mamachinos. Yeah. I don't know what you call them, the Rasputins. You know them? They look like lychee nuts, only they've got like little tentacles coming out there.
Really? No, we don't have those.
And you peel them and there's some white fruit inside.
Limoncillo, we call it, I think.
Oh, I don't know. But there's just so many and they're so good. Yeah. And when people don't even realize, do you realize all the good things you have in your life?
I know. Well, I do now, but back in the day, I mean, before my health scare, I had an awful diet, and I think that out of 7 days, I would have greens maybe.
Now, you went through this health scare, and how is it that you got so smart, and what about your family when you decided to make the choices that you did?
Well, to be honest, from the beginning, when I saw what the situation was like, it never felt, their options for me just didn't feel right, because the side effects and the long-term issues were just too many. And technically, because my ovary was never had never been contaminated. It was all in the cyst. The cyst was benign on the outside, but it was malignant on the inside. Mm. And so I was removed 27 lymph nodes as well, and all of them came back clean.
Why?
So it just never
didn't
made sense. And so I just started, my mom never pushed me to do this, but she was also a little hesitant. And so that kind of gave me some leeway to like, okay, let me start reading and Googling and see what I find. And that was hard. At the beginning, it was hard. Mm-hmm. I only found Chris Carr and this website called Chris Beat Cancer. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Mm-mm.
He's like in Minnesota or something.
Yeah, it is hard. And that's one of the reasons why I founded my nonprofit, Responsible Eating and Living. And I wish there was a way to get the information out to people who are looking for it. I do the best I can, but it's not easy. Yeah.
But so my family at the beginning, my dad's side of the family was a little more reluctant because they're, you know, they live in the Caribbean, all that. So it's a different mentality. But it's my choice. It's my body, you know. But at the end of the day, my grandfather, who's like 76, out of moral support, he became a raw vegan as well.
Whoa.
And he is better than ever. Better than ever. He's been fighting diabetes too for all his life and had a heart attack 15 years ago, and now all of his issues that he had controlled with medication, they've now disappeared.
Wow. And he eats only raw food?
He does eat like brown bread and I don't know.
So primarily raw foods, but you know, some simple foods
as but
well.
He'll eat no meat and no sugars whatsoever. Mm-hmm. No dairy either.
Yeah.
So
bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in they do eat a lot of how do you call them, tuberculos, which are like plantains or cassava.
The root vegetables.
And some body, like my body, some I can do plantains. It's not an issue. Mm-hmm. But I don't have. I mean, I have it maybe like 3 times a year. You know,
yeah.
So.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's good. And don't feel guilty when you're eating them. They love you. Right. Okay. So you're going to hit all the big cities and get it in your app. It's just what happens when I'm going to some tiny little town in some clueless place.
Well, hopefully online we can have ask a question and somebody magically will respond with an answer. But, oh, I forgot to say, our next step for the app is also to allow customers to just buy their juice or their food on the app, and then you can either go pick it up or you can have it delivered.
Oh, too convenient. Okay, so this is an app. It's on the iPhone. You said you're working on getting it on the Android. What about all the people, and there still are people in this world who don't have smartphones. Is there something that they can do? Is the information on a website?
We're working on having all of the information that we have on the app on the website. In a different way, but just that you can, so that you can browse what's in this particular city.
Okay.
So yeah, hopefully that's coming.
You plan on going global?
Oh, well we do. I mean, we started with Brazil because it was a coincidence, but we might be launching maybe at the end of the year Sao Paulo or Rio de Janeiro. Right. And then at some point, because it's starting in the UK, there are, in London, you do have some juice bars. The Scandinavian countries are all for it. And I found out through Instagram as well.
I was in Argentina a few years ago. I found a juice bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, in Miami, there's a raw place that's owned by Argentinians. So they seem to be following.
And this person that you met through the Obama campaign, do you share the same diet?
No. Well, he's Cuban originally. So imagine with
beans and rice.
Yeah. Dealing with his family at the beginning was very hard. His grandmother could not understand why I didn't want pork. But, no, he eats a lot of vegetables, and he works out a lot. But he does have meat.
Mm, okay.
And
dairy. I'm hoping the best for you, too, and hoping he learns a lot more from you, because he's only going to benefit from it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, hey, thank you for coming into the studio. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to get that app on my phone.
Thank you for having
me. Very quickly, because I always have to know where to get green juice when I'm not at home. But I do believe in juicing at home and loving cleaning it. That's my gift to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I make juice, it's not like, oh, I've got to clean this machine. You got to love it because it's good for you.
Yeah. Well, the Vitamix, that's why I was always a little hesitant about the Vitamix, but I got one, and it's the best thing ever. You can't juice, but you can do a lot of other things.
You can get a lot of greens.
And it's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And you look great. I'm glad you're well.
Thank you.
Thank green leafy vegetables. Woohoo! Okay, I'm Karen Hartglass, and we've come to the end of the program. It's All About Food. Visit ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, and please just check out my Kickstarter, The Lone Vegan. And have a delicious week. Bye-bye.